There's a myth a lot of us grow up believing that hair loss is just a part of life. It happens. It runs in the family. And once it starts, there's no stopping it. But here's the truth. That's outdated thinking. Scientific understanding of hair loss has advanced in recent years. Today, we have a deeper knowledge of underlying causes, and we've developed science-backed solutions that are both effective and safe. And that's at the very root of Happy Head. Dermatologist-led innovation offering stronger, FDA-approved ingredients that work. But what really sets Happy Head apart is how personalized it is. They don't do one-size-fits-all fixes. You fill out a comprehensive consultation, and their board-certified dermatologists design a formula specifically for your hair loss pattern, goals, and lifestyle. And whether you're early in your journey or more advanced, Happy Head offers targeted options that actually work. Topical treatments, oral capsules, or potent dual-action bundles all delivered directly to you, discreetly and freshly compounded in the U.S. Most people start seeing results in 3 to 6 months. But the real magic? It's sustainable. This isn't just about growing hair, it's about keeping it long-term. So no, hair loss isn't inevitable anymore. Visit happyhead.com and find out what's possible when science, expertise, and personalization come together. Hair happiness starts here.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We could leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alva, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies be line with a death wish. Be right, didn't have no name on a guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
All right, welcome back to the show. We'll get to one person's response to our conversation regarding Jeremy Pena and what the deal would have been if he would have agreed to what the Astros were proposing. And now that Scott Boras is around, how Dana Brown feels about it, we'll get to that. But first, let's talk to Keith. Keith wants to talk some NBA. What's up, Keith?
Hey, Dale. Thanks for having me on. I had a question about the Washington Wizards. They made a trade. They've now got like five, really quality veterans: C.J. McCollum, Kelly Olynyk, Middleton, Brogdon, Marcus Smart, to pair with some young guys like Alex Saar, Bob Carrington, Corey Kispert. Do you think any of those five veterans are going to be potential buyout candidates where the Rockets can maybe add to their bench? Because surely with the number six pick this draft tonight, the Wizards, are they trying to stay young? Are they trying to stay compete? Are they trying to do something this year, next year? Because those five veterans can easily go on some playoff quality teams, right?
The Wizards in the latter stages of last year were better than you'd think if you actually watched them play, which I understand if no one was. They played the Rockets early in the year, and we talked about it. It felt like just a bunch of guys trying to hoop. Like, there was no real system. We're just out there hooping. And they get rid of their primary real hoopers in Jordan Poole. He's out. He's with the Pelicans. C.J. McCollum, as Keith mentioned, is there. As far as what could happen for the Rockets, I think considering the guys they brought in, some of those guys are going to want to stay. They're going to want those guys to bring a professionalism to that roster because of all the youth, and they're going to add to it tonight, whether it be an Ace Bailey, who, considering what he's up to, feels like someone who may need some
guidance.
Some unk guidance.
Some Marcus Smart put his arm around him.
Some C.J. McCollum, whatever. And C.J. McCollum, by the way, considering all the moves that are being made because of the CBA, is being looked at as one of the forefathers of this terrible time in the NBA when you can't keep your players because they cost too much.
He was the president of the Players Association when they signed this, or yes, vice president, whatever.
Yeah, people are saying it's perfect that he's in Washington.
Yeah.
Because
think about what you did, CJ. To answer Keith's question, because I agree with you that I think they're going to keep these guys at least until January, February, sure, closer to the deadline.
Or they might ship them for picks, a second-round pick here, if they send them to a team who needs a veteran or two. So there's some ways for them to make to make moves that don't just mean cutting these guys for nothing.
Yeah, yeah. I'm thinking of cutting – if they do cut these guys, it'll be later, yeah, later after they tried to, then they can't get
– sure.
You know, 2 seconds. Or if they can get 2 seconds, they have to take back worse money or something like that. I would say that Marcus Smart, I could see him. I mean, obviously the Ime Udoka connection there. And also just being another guy who, say, you know, fast forward to February and it doesn't look like Reed Shepard's quite ready to full-time take the keys in a backup point guard capacity, or, you know, you don't think of him being ready for playoff basketball and dealing with that kind of, I mean, honestly, mostly for him, defensive caliber, like the defensive caliber you have to be at to play in the playoffs. I could see Marcus Smart, because he can kind of play with the ball, play without. Not a terrific shooter, but, you know, he's all right out there. Same thing with CJ McCollum. It's just he doesn't have that Celtics resume, sure, that Smart does.
And when I said they've been playing better, I didn't mean they were winning games, but the brand of basketball they're playing.
They're less buffoonery.
Yeah.
Even Jordan Poole was less of a clown.
Yes. They're more cohesive. They look like an actual basketball team. Sure, they're losing games. They're just not talented enough.
A lot of young guys. Worst record in the league.
Yeah, they're bad. They're bad. So, but yeah, they looked at least like they had some idea what they were doing. Yeah, Jordan Poole, you know, looked at as a bit of a clownish figure by the regular NBA fan. Doesn't help that he got punched by his own teammate. Some of that adds to it, but
yeah, for being a clown.
Well, court. Yeah, pretty. Did he call Draymond a backpack in the practice, or was it more about I'm getting paid? I forgot exactly what led to the punch.
I thought it was money.
So. Yeah, Draymond has since talked about it quite a bit. In fact, he was doing the rounds. I think he was on the Pivot and talked about that punch and what it meant, and obviously some regret there. He also spoke on Fred VanVleet and their conversation in the playoffs, because there was a time where Fred VanVleet wanted every piece of Draymond. Apparently, they're boys, they're good friends or whatever, at least close enough that Draymond can call him a friend. So Draymond talked about it. He said, I crossed the line. I said something going back I shouldn't have said to Fred. And he said it was because of his interactions with the other Rockets. Like, I'm talking to these guys, they're saying stuff to me I don't like, so I'm saying stuff to them. And of course, Fred is as a teammate, is jumping in. And then Draymond's like, I'm in that mode where I'm saying all the stuff to them, and now you're defending them. And he understands that's what you're supposed to do. So I said something to him, and I regret it. So apparently, they were all together, him and Fred and other people at some dinner or something. So they sat down. Fred kind of pulled him aside and said, hey, man, what was that about? And Draymond's like, yeah, I shouldn't have said that. So
that's what I do. I'm Draymond Green.
Yeah. He goes, I understand. I shouldn't have said it. They were saying all these things to me, all the young Rockets, which is pretty much all of them. And I was just in that mode where they can't talk to me that way without me saying some stuff back. And he pretty much just said Fred just caught astray because he was around at the time. And so they apparently have pieced that up. And speaking of Fred, since we're talking Rockets and guards and who can help, with Kyrie getting his extension, Kyrie had a large team option, I believe. Or was it player option? I forgot exactly what it was.
I think it was a player.
Either way,
he opted out.
Yeah, you're right. It was a player option. He agreed with the Mavericks to opt out, because he was going to get a long-term extension, 3 years. What was it, $119 million is what I said?
Yeah, I think it was close to 40 per year.
Yeah, so less than what he would have made next year on a one-year deal, which comes to what Fred is going to do. We know the Rockets extended their window to make a decision with Fred VanVleet. Of course, they had moves to make. The primary one was acquiring Kevin Durant. I think it's the 29th before they have to make a final decision.
Yeah, it's the day before free agency.
Yeah, so Kelly Eco reported on Monday, Mark Stein corroborated it, that by all accounts, this isn't a thing where they're just going to say goodbye to Fred. He's going to get a long-term extension, so it won't even just be 1 year. He'll get a three-year deal. That's kind of what the long-term, when you talk about player extensions, are right now when there's a team or player option. So he won't get Kyrie money. But we talk in like 3 for $105, 3 for $100.
Jeremy Pena money?
Pena said, no, not money. My type of money.
Yeah, I guess. Jeremy Pena, almost Jeremy Pena money.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd imagine. I've just kind of like mid-30s per mm-hmm. year for 2 or 3 years.
Yeah. You have a line. You're not Kyrie.
Yeah.
You're healthy, but you're not Kyrie. He's hurt. He's going to miss at least half of next year, probably. But you're not him. And that guy's getting 40-plus. You, 35, 36, may be where he comes in, maybe a little less, if he wants to cut the Rockets some slack.
Yeah, I do wonder if it's going to also be another team option.
2 plus 1?
Yeah, if it's 2 and then an option for a third.
I can see that.
Would make him also more tradable that way. I think that the Kyrie Irving thing is comparable to what the Rockets are looking to do with Fred VanVleet. And I would say that, yeah, you probably just shave off maybe not 10 per year, but like 8 per year. Like, could you get him for 33 for 3 years? That actually is Jalen Green money.
Yeah. Like 300 for 100.
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that. 2 plus 1, you get the team option. If you're the Rockets, you would like that. And you bring back Fred for a couple more years at a reduced rate.
I think as long as you keep it under like 37, 38.
Yeah.
Because at that point, it's like, I'd rather you just spend that extra $5 million
and then we'll see who you are as a player and how you fit with us, and then we can make a decision about our future with you.
Because even if he opts in, like, they could just re-sign him again next offseason if they need to. I think it would be less likely that he resigned just because you would hope Reed Sheppard 1 year closer.
Sure.
All that stuff. Or Amin Thompson 1 year closer to taking the reins at point guard, although I'm more dubious of that, just of him being like an actual point guard. Like, I think he'd do point forward stuff.
I would agree.
I just don't know if he can like be Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, you know, like bring the ball up every single time.
Have that on him.
Against pressure. Like, I feel like he's more of a, if he is a secondary creator or a primary creator, there is a point guard on the floor with him.
Sure.
And his size allows you to do
that. Or at least another ball handler that you really, really trust. Either way. Yeah. The Amin Thompson point guard stuff, I think we're probably years away if it actually is a thing.
Well, funny we're talking about. I think, I don't know. Are we wiretapped? Does Rafael Stone listen? Actually, it doesn't make sure.
We got news?
We have breaking news from Shams Charania. The Houston Rockets intend to sign Fred VanVleet to a 2-year, $50 million contract to stay with the franchise with a player option for 26.
So they got him cheap, though. Two-year 50, right?
Yes, but it looks like a – would that be a player option? No, so it's a 1-year deal with a player option for a second year.
So he is taking
– it looks like. Hold on. Let me – it's
– so we go crazy. From 1 year for 40 to 2 years, 50 over two, if he wants to take that second year. Is what that's phrased as, right? If we go by what Shams and what you said, Shams.
2-year, $50 million contract to stay with the franchise with a player option in 26-27. Player option in 26-27, is that before 26-27 or after? I assume after. But
so Fred gets.
I don't think that Rich Paul just got taken to the cleaners like that.
Yeah, because that sounds like Fred signed.
Signed a 1 plus 1.
Yeah.
And for $25 million a year, which was $10 million less than I said would be okay.
Which would be crazy because you just take – you must if that's the case, if it's like 1 plus 1, he must really love being here. Because what you're saying is we're talking instead of making 40 whatever, although that was a team option, 40 whatever next year, although they had said they wanted him, then he would be only making 6? Like in a scenario where he makes 40 1 year and then he's a free agent,
I get you.
So
he declined 1 year $45 million to sign 2 years $50 million.
So that was was it a team or a player option?
Player option.
So was okay.
Player option 26-27.
No, I mean this initial deal was.
Oh,
that
this was a team option.
Okay, his initial deal was a team option. Okay, just to be clear. So Fred VanVleet is back for 2 years $50 million with a. Yeah. Team option.
So I assume this means 1 plus 1, but just because option. In general we talk about this during NFL offseason free agency, I think it's a good time to bring this up now, is that especially the big newsbreakers, the big national newsbreakers, like Shams Charania, not calling him out, but he is the biggest NBA newsbreaker. A lot of these times, these deals get broken through the reporter's connections with the agents.
Sure.
And so you'll be getting the most beneficial to the agent. You'll get the number that is the biggest because it makes the agent look the best. And then in the next hours or days later, you'll find out, oh, actually, this is less of a player-friendly deal than we think. So the fact that he's framing it as 2 years, $50 million contract with a player option in 26-27, that to me makes me think it's a 1+1 because you
so
would
too.
Say 3 years, 75.
Yeah,
you know, like
yeah,
it, yeah. You just use the bigger number if there's a third year.
So just to clarify, Fred VanVleet went from a potential team option of 44.9 to a 2 year deal that involves a player option. So he is guaranteed, I don't know what the first year salary would be, but an AAV of 25 per year if he chooses to exercise his player option in the second year of the deal.
Yeah. So Kelly Eco is saying that it's a 2 year, $50 million deal.
But includes the player option.
Yes.
Okay.
So it sounds like it is basically a 1+1.
Yeah. So Fred VanVleet is taking a lot less. God. We can frame it that way, but there's no guarantee if he decided, no, I want my 44, that he would have been back anyway. So still, it is set up for him to sign for 1 year and then be a free agent unless the Rockets sign him to another extension.
Because I'm not crazy. Next year is 25-26.
Yeah, and then the year after that is
26-27.
Yes, yeah. So
he
yeah.
keeps saying player option in 26-27.
I think that simply means
for 26-27.
Okay. Yeah. So
because he said it on the McAfee show.
Too. So Fred's back at a rate I didn't think that the Rockets could get him for.
I think that's why we're so confused by this. Is because we're having the conversation about like I think I'm okay paying him 36 per year. And they just and they get 1 year less.
But the conversations all year long have been Fred's not worth this amount of money. He's not worth what he's being paid now. He wouldn't be worth what he'd be paying on that team option. So maybe Clutch and Fred,
he's a $25 million
knew
player.
What his value actually was.
Yeah.
And the Rockets were telling Fred, we can't reasonably pay you $44.9 million next year. So would you agree to a reduced salary with the chance, if you like what happens in 25-26, of coming back? Or if you do well, you're back on the open market and maybe you can make more, but there's no way we're paying you 44.9, but we love you and we want you back, so we'll give you the 25 and we'll see what happens the year after.
Yeah,
I think that's kind of how that played out. Fred's now being paid more commensurate with his actual value, at least when it comes to stats, the intangibles, whatever, the Rockets love him. But as far as what he produces, he is now being paid the right type of salary.
He's a $25 million per year player. You're just paying him 40 last year.
Yes,
but
because you had to get him in because of where you were when you were a disaster.
I guess, yes. If you are Fred, you are thinking, I take 25 this year, opt out, get a shot at a bigger.
Yeah, if I'm better, I get a better deal. And if not, I still have 25 in my back pocket.
It's also like he could opt in and get traded. Like
there are a lot of things, to figure out. But what we know as of now.
Rich Paul. Come on, dude.
What we know as of. Look.
Fred VanVleet should have called Scott Boras.
It just speaks to his overpay when he initially got here. That's all it is.
Yeah, I guess there's the idea that of like anchoring for us, which is why we thought
the adult here in this room in this franchise. We needed a couple guys. That's why Dylan Brooks got his 80/4, which actually turned out to be a good value for the Rockets. Of course, it helped get KD here. Fred was a stabilizing force. That's what they needed him for. And because Toronto still wanted him, they had to overpay to get him. And now the value has changed, and you can see what he actually is on the open market. At least that's kind of what he's been valued at. So he gets his 25, at least for a year, we're going to have Fred VanVleet as your starting point guard at a number that will not create sticker shock for a lot of Rocket fans who have watched his shooting performances fluctuate between spectacular, as we saw in the back end of that Warrior series, to tour date numbers, which we saw far too often during the regular season. So he's back.
Wow.
At a reasonable number. So that's good business for the Rockets. Once again, they've done a lot of good business in this offseason.
I think that's part of it. Is that I'm not used to like a team that's actually good at this. Like this, or maybe not a team. This team. I'm not, I still am surprised that Rafael Stone is like actually this good at doing this, at the moves on the margins, or not the moves on the margins, but the, you know, negotiating to get the best deal possible. It's that, you know, Daryl Morey, I get the league was a little different back then, but it was just, hey, star players coming up, max. Were you one of the two best players on your team last year? You're getting the max.
Yeah, that's true.
Where now it's like, oh, this guy actually like negotiates and tries to get good deals.
Yeah, I don't know how the team who negotiated this could look Tillman Fertitta in the face and say, sure, Fred's not a $40+ million player, but he's 36. I don't think watching him play that is something that they could have got off and would have made a lot of sense, other than, hey, we can't reduce his salary as much as we should because we started here.
That's what I thought. That was my
line of thinking.
Was why would you opt out if you're not going to make substantially more than 50
well,
or 45?
In a world where there's not a lot of cap space, if they say no to Fred and he goes, all right, I'm on the open market.
Yeah.
What is Fred VanVleet getting as a poor shooting small guard?
Yeah, probably 25.
Yeah, so he'd rather be here than be shopping his wares and wind up in Brooklyn or someplace. A lot of teams have point guards that are younger, in some cases better, and in a lot of cases cheaper than what Fred's going for.
More potential where they're like, hey, we don't actually know if this guy's better, but we draft him 6th overall, so we just have to roll with it for another year.
And we don't have to pay him $25 to $30 million a year. So the finances certainly played a part, and the situation around the league played a part, where the Rockets got Fred in a way that it was probably best for him to stay and take the $25 million. And now he's your starting point guard again. And as you said, the salary, whether it be the first year or the second year, is one that you can reasonably put in a trade and maybe acquire someone that you think better helps your team. So Fred VanVleet, a Rocket. Good deal for the Rockets. They keep doing that. Congratulations to Rafael Stone. He's been a good team builder when it comes to the draft. Bringing in Steven Adams was smart. Signing Dylan Brooks looked dumb at the time. That's smart. And you get your point guard back in a smart way as well. So all good. I know he learned under Daryl Morey, who was considered at the time one of the best GMs in basketball. I don't know how people feel right now, considering some of the things that have gone on in Philly. But Rafael Stone's continuing the trend of at least the Rockets having very competent guys running their team. So we'll go to break with that. If you want to call in about Fred being back and at that price, you can. 713-780-3776. I'll get to the comment that we got from a listener about Scott Boras and how Dana Brown feels about him when we get back.
ESPN 97.5.
The Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your host, Del Olalea.
So we got some reaction to the Fred VanVleet news, but this was from Art about Dana Brown when Scott Boras is involved. It's Bryce Matthews season. Kind of. When it's time for the Astros to deal with Boras when it comes to position players, not named Altuve. It's who's next up is pretty much how it goes. Who's next? And now, well, not now, probably a couple years away from that now, but it'll probably be Bryce Matthews' season.
Yeah. I mean, you could have played Matthews at short, or at Matthews at second and Pena at short, but I guess get ready to learn shortstop, buddy.
Yeah.
I don't know if you already know shortstop.
He may very well.
I know he was talking about it. Third base. If Bregman left before the Astros ended up getting Paredes, but he's only played 5 games at shortstop this year for Sugarland.
Yeah, he's not 49 very experienced. At second. He's not very experienced, but maybe.
I mean, there probably still will be overlap because I imagine
he'll be up.
Matthews will be up
next year. This
next year,
but
he feels like a guy that might get the Dana Brown rocket ship up the.
I can see that.
Up the he has a 877 OPS right now in AAA.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Not bad.
Yeah,
not bad.
Yeah. So whether it's years from now or maybe they're playing together. I think Bryce Matthews.
They might come up playing together.
Yeah, we might see Bryce Matthews. That's when I met years from now, whether he's replacing Pena at shortstop or or actually playing with him before Pena, which feels inevitable, leaves. I think we're going to see a lot of Bryce Matthews in that infield, whether it be at second or shortstop going forward. So that is likely a guy you can look to as a possible replacement. But as we said, that's years away. Even with the Scott Boras news, you're still going to have him for a couple of years.
Yeah, at end least. Of 27 is when his contract comes up. So 2.5 more years.
Yeah, nothing to concern yourself with now. It's got to be a tough life to be worrying about player departures 2.5 years from today. Just watch Jeremy Pena light it up.
Cam Smith, you only have 5.5 more years.
Impending doom with Cam Smith already. We can discuss. We can discuss when Scott Boras takes him under his wing.
when he switches agencies in 3 years.
Yeah, that's just baseball, as they say, just in a different way. Okay, also some reaction to the Fred VanVleet news. Dream Shake loves to talk basketball. We appreciate it. Says he believes the deal is fair, but if Reed develops, I hope he's willing to come off the bench if it helps winning.
I think that if Reed is so good that he's a starter at the
Fred.
End of the year, yeah, they'll. I mean, because the contract's very tradable, so I imagine he would be in a trade. $25 million's good matching salary too.
Yeah, he can get some things done there, and
trade it for Giannis, 1-for-1.
The salaries don't match at that point.
Oh, okay, then you know, Jay Sean Tate.
Come
Jock
on,
Landell,
keep going.
Cam Whitmore. Actually, let me get the trade.
Yeah, you keep. You're gonna if you keep going with the small contracts, you're gonna
trade. I don't want to trade the good guy.
I know, but you don't have enough salary.
I just want to get Giannis for free.
Yeah, you want to include Jabari in with his money. You're gonna have to give
that.
Him with his can't. Extension and throw him in a trade. Also, we talked about this morning because Lance was very fired up on a lot of things, but the possibility of Fred being a long-term extension, which is kind of 3 years in this case, 3 years, 100 or so.
Yeah.
He gets his wish, but Art wishes he did get 3 years to see Lance lose his mind. But it's two, so Lance Erline will be a calmer person. I'm sure he'll be full of banana pudding like he was today. He ate that with his fingers today. You heard me. He used his thumb and his forefinger as like a spoon and scooped the banana pudding.
Where did
pudding.
He get banana pudding?
Charlotte. She's a caterer. So she gave him, he bought a couple of dishes. Ain't no free lunch here.
No, no such thing as free lunch.
Yeah. So he bought some desserts, bought some meals, and he was without utensils, so he scooped it into his mouth. Yes, I pointed it out. There are utensils in the kitchen, yes. It did not matter. He's a savage.
20 steps away from Charlotte.
He's a savage.
Okay.
That's the problem. Yes, us normal people would have walked down the hall.
It's like an extra 30 seconds.
It's just laziness and savagery. It's all.
Okay.
I'm not married, but I get why wives lose their minds when their husbands do stuff. Like, couldn't you just gotten a spoon or a fork? Why are you eating your finger? Why are you eating with your fingers? This is the guy I married, and this is not a Lance specific thing, but it's just in general. Yeah. So
now he's humming, "I wish I was in the land of cotton."
Yeah. Yeah. And we got a soundbite of him singing songs about rebel. Yeah. Yeah. All these things. You get. Why?
Picking banana pudding off his finger.
Yeah, you get why at some point wives and girlfriends are like sick of their significant others. Of course, it flips the other way too sometimes, but for much different reasons. Like, I don't know many guys who are sick of their significant other who's a woman because she's a slob. It's generally not the way that goes. I mean, it's happened.
I'm sure it's happened.
It happened, but it's generally not the way it goes when you're
numbers game
in your 30s and 40s and you're married. It's generally the other way. By a large, wide margin. And we got an example in the building. I looked at him, and out of the corner of my eye, "Are you using your thumb?" He goes, I wish you didn't see that. Of course you did.
Why would you? I would assume you do.
He said his forefinger and his thumb. He was using it to
see,
shovel.
See, I would do middle and index.
Well.
Because you get a little more scooping.
Understood.
Like he's like picking at it. That doesn't make sense to me.
It doesn't make a lot of sense.
I'll walk over and let him know.
Explain it to him.
Hey, for next time.
If you're not going to use a fork or a knife or a spoon, this is the way to do it. These two fingers. There are things rolling around in my head that I won't.
You don't have to.
I won't because I'm not John.
Yeah.
I won't do that because I'm not John. But the motion you were making was like, Yeah, some things you just keep to yourself.
I also would get a spoon.
Yes. Yeah, you wouldn't use your fingers either. You'd get a spoon.
But if I were to have to use my fingers.
If you, for some reason, with a kitchen in the building, in our area, and there are no spoons or anything, you would do that method. Understood. Okay, we'll go to break with that. We got a couple more segments to go. Fred VanVleet is back at a price that's very reasonable. Good deal by the Rockets. If you want to talk about that, you can 713-780-3776. We got a couple more things to get to before we wrap it up and Paul takes over. We will be back.
ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
We should have pointed this out, but we didn't. Thanks to Dream Shake for reminding us. Bryce Matthews played shortstop at Nebraska, so he's got experience there. Now, he has not played a lot of games there this year, but he's got plenty of experience playing there. So if it comes down to that, if he is a Jeremy Pena replacement, he's done it. So no worries there. If you missed it, Jeremy Pena could have been an Astro for the long term. They were working on a deal for 105 over five, 105 million over 5 years. They were deep into discussions. The deal would have exceeded 105. So take your guess, 108, 110, whatever it might have been. And we know that Scott Boras is now representing him. So don't expect that deal to be the deal that Jeremy Pena signs, if he even signs with the Astros. But they were working on something to get him done before he would hit free agency, which is a couple seasons away now. They just didn't, and now you have a shark in the water, and Dana Brown's bleeding.
Yeah, yesterday's price, definitely not today's price.
Yes, so that happened.
Whether it's the play on the field is the reason, or the guy in the suit in the boardroom standing next to Jeremy Pena.
Yeah, things have changed for the Astros and Jeremy Pena as far as contract negotiations. Also, of course, Fred VanVleet's back in a deal that Scott Boras may have been forced to agree to but wouldn't have wanted to agree to because it's reasonable for the team. So Fred's back as well. So those are the couple of news items that happened over the last couple hours as we've been on the air. Let's talk about the Texans a little bit. We haven't mentioned them really at all. I did say we would get to some stuff. So, as we always talk about, summer is list season, or season, if you prefer. And the Texans have three players on the top 25 players under 25 list on CBS Sports. Of course, they are Will Anderson, CJ Stingley. We have talked about these lists in the past. No surprise. You've got guys at premium positions who are very good players, so they're going to be put on these lists. A guy who's too old for the list is Nico Collins. And he's had two really good years in a row, now one of the top receivers in the game. And that means you're going to get compliments from even guys on the opposing side. Here's Darius Slay on Nico Collins and what people thought of him before and how he's changed those perceptions.
Okay, well, let me flip it. Who's the most underrated receiver? So,
good bit of those now. The most underrated one, I feel as in, that's who I went up against one time that had, like, I was like, oh, man, this man got some stuff to him. But, dang, at that time, he was who he is now. Nico Collins was so underrated to me.
He's not underrated anymore, I feel
not
like.
Not no more. That's
maybe year one,
like,
though.
He's the first one that came to my mind was like.
Yeah. What is it about his game that makes him so good in your
mind? Like, the fact that he's big, he can run, and it's like his routes look like he's running at him, like he's 5'8". You know, so, like, he can stop on a dime. Like, he was very underrated for a minute, but now it's like he's where he's at. But
he might run the best dig in the NFL, I feel
like. I'm telling you, like, he get up out the breaks, and like, when he catches, he gets vertical, crazy.
Yeah.
He gets his vertical size,
6'4", the breakaway, it's crazy.
Yeah, and he running past a lot of guys. Yeah. Like, he run past them. Big boy post, like, you wouldn't think it. So, he was my real true underrated, but now he's who he is, so he's not really truly underrated no more.
I believe that's Darius Slay with Mina Kimes. That sounded like her. So, yeah, Nico, everyone knows how good he is. Not a secret. The corners know, which is the bigger deal. Look, we can say he's good. we can believe that he's good. But a lot of people would have said Michael Thomas was good, and then he got called a slant merchant by all the corners, and then that stuck with him. Can't guard Mike, his Twitter handle. He just became a guy who ran slants, and that became a perception, even if that wasn't reality. Nico Collins does not have that perception or reality when it comes to him.
Dig merchant?
He's great at him.
You're really great at running 15 yards down the field and then 90 degrees to the inside.
But he also has big boy slants.
He does have big boy slants. And I think slants are – I think they're less respected than –
I think
more downfield.
Yeah, corner is going to say, I'm playing off and you run.
Yeah,
you run a slant on me, whatever. Face, that's more about the positioning than you actually being better than me. So yeah, I would imagine a slant against an off corner isn't something they're going to respect very much. Hell, we see how corners talk about their own guys. Like, whatever, you were in cover three. You're not a real one.
Yeah.
Hey, Richard Sherman, zone corner. You saw those man corners taking shots at them. You ain't a real one. It's like when people get pissed and say real men play man, and even in basketball. Like, if you play zone, you ain't for us.
Yeah, I will say maybe a little too much zone in my NBA these days.
Get the Jim Boeheim influence out of my league.
Back in my day, whoever is getting guarded by, pick a terrible defender that plays zone defense, you just go at them, You don't let Duncan Robinson hide in the corner. You don't let Tyler Hero.
The Miami Heat are like, wait, what? Are we the only bad defenders in basketball?
No, I'm just thinking Darius Garland.
Well, and Spo loves his own.
Yeah.
Partly because he has to love his own.
Spo did, he went to the finals playing zone, all right? Twice.
Yeah, a couple times. Yeah, with
those guys on the court.
With the Butler era Heat. Yeah, so, yeah.
But also, play real, man.
Play man.
Be a man. Play man.
Man-to-man defense. See what you got. And maybe you can foul the F out of people like the Thunder do and win a title. But if you have great defenders, you get away with it.
That's the dream.
Yeah.
Yeah, someone was pointing out that, all you have to do is set the, precedent when you come into the league that I'm a great defender who's very physical, like Lou Dort and Alex Caruso. And then that reputation just kind of,
never leaves you.
Yeah, and so you are just allowed to do things differently. Not saying it's right or wrong. It's just a fact.
What it is. Yeah.
You have Tari Eason. Start fouling people.
Yeah, they can't call all. Well, is he at a point where they can't call all the fouls, or will they call all the fouls on him? Like, Amen Thompson may be at a point already.
Yeah, Amen Thompson is because he's already been first team all defense.
Yeah, if he's doing it, it's allowed because that's just great defense by a great defender.
And then what are you going to do? Get in his face? He'll slam you to the ground.
Slam you to the ground.
Get in your face.
Throw a forearm in your throat.
Yeah.
There are things he will do. The Tyler Hero thing will live on. But I don't want people to forget. I think he got thrown out of a game for a flagrant two on Giannis.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He did the classic, grab him from the shoulders, from behind, shoulders, and just, as he's jumping, just pull him back down to the ground.
Yeah.
He also got into it with
he elbowed Maxi Kleber in the throat or forearmed him in the throat or something like that.
Was there a Bradley Beal one? His rookie year? No, wait. Yeah, it would have been his rookie year. Maybe that was Jalen Green, actually, now that I think about
it. I don't know if Amen has a Bradley Beal.
I think that was Jalen Green, got into it with new teammate, Bradley Beal.
Bradley Beal. I'm not effing leaving. Just show Leo and anytime you mention Bradley Beal, run the gif, because that's who he is. No, we'd like you to go. You know what the deal is?
Yeah.
I got the no trade clause.
I like a lot of things.
Yeah, I know.
Luckily,
I
have most of them.
Yeah, I mean, I like to be a full-time starter. You guys don't want to do that anymore, so I'm going to stay. I like Arizona. It's fun. It's not that far away from L.A.
Play a lot of golf.
Yeah, I don't know where you're going to send me, but I know where you're not going to send me. Anywhere I don't want to go because I got the clause. And you agreed to it, so we're good here, right? I can go? Yeah, Bradley, you can go.
Does Fred VanVleet have a little bit of the... I think he doesn't get the, I'm a good defender, therefore I play with physicality, therefore you can't call fouls on me.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's more of the, I am at a size disadvantage, so I'm allowed to hack a little bit more.
No, it's like when centers get pissed off because they don't get calls because they're bigger than everyone.
Yeah, you'd have to hit opposite Shaq with a 2x4
before they get a foul. Yeah. So you think it's the opposite where Fred, because he's small?
I think he benefits from that. Is that it's like when he's getting posted up by Jimmy Butler.
He can be more physical.
Yeah, he can just be more physical.
Throw for him, right in his back. Yeah. A couple of them. Hey.
He was good against Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, it's very much the James Harden thing where
He's a fire hydrant.
Yeah, he can play in the post and be a problem because how many guys are really good in the post anymore? Even Jimmy Butler, whose game is grifting and drawing fouls. Yeah.
He's more like face-up.
Yeah, he's a face-up guy. He'll do that little head move thingy and try to get you off balance.
Jab step.
Yeah, but he's not a true post player because those really don't exist anymore. The Rockets happen to have one and Alpi.
Keeping the dream alive.
And, you know, in ways, it's really mid-post more and at the elbow, but Kevin Durant has some of that in him, too. He doesn't do it as much as he used to.
Yeah, it's less dream-shaky and more.
Yeah.
I'm gonna at the elbow.
Just turn around and shoot over you because, you know, I'm 6'11", and long arms, and I'm Kevin Durant.
There.
Yeah, look at you. Yeah, look at Fred down there. I'll just rise up and shoot over you. Okay, we'll go to break with that. We got one more segment to go. A newsworthy day in some ways. The Fred news is news. The Pena stuff is okay. It was something, but now it's not.
I would say it was news until the Fred news happened.
That's true. For a Wednesday in June when the draft is here and we don't have a pick, finding out that the Astros were close to maybe signing Pena to an extension, a deal exceeding 105 over 5 years, that's news for June on a Wednesday. The Fred stuff is actually good for the Rockets and good for where they build a team. You kind of know that that's a competent organization in multiple ways. They don't just draft well. They kind of have some foresight. They knew Dylan Brooks wasn't the washed bum that people are calling him when he was with the Grizzlies at the end, and they knew Steven Adams could be a contributor, and now they got Fred back on what really is his value, and they can move forward not crippled because the CBA really punishes you for overpaying guys. The Celtics weren't really in that consideration until they gave Drew Holiday his extension because he helped them win a title, and we've seen what happens to them, what's happened to them once they had to make moves. Two of your starters from your title team are now gone.
Yeah.
And they were going to do that whether Tatum was healthy or not, most likely. Okay, we'll go to break. One more segment to go. We will be back.
The Del Olalea Show, weekday mornings from 10 to noon.
There is a speckle of donut from Lance's time from the mic, just a piece of donut on the microphone. I don't normally get grossed out. This is woof. Oh, my gosh. You know, I'm looking at you, and then I catch something in my eye. I'm like, is that in my eye? And I look down. Oh, that's a piece of donut. Lance is the disgusting member of that group.
The Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your host, Del Olalea.
Going to be real quick. We are just about out of time. I get confused sometimes. I don't know how much of our draft conversation is off air or on air, but I think I asked you off air, right, that Woj had retired after this last draft, so we won't have him tipping picks, which is the way I will be consuming the draft, particularly with no Rockets pick on the board. I don't need to watch this thing live. I know Cooper Flagg's going one, Dylan Harper's going two. The draft starts when Daryl Morey decides what he wants to do at three, if he hasn't already decided that, it feels like. But will it come to Shams to tip picks now? Is it going to be some off ESPN type? Will Chris Haynes be doing it? Will Jake Fisher be doing it? Jordan Schultz is more an NFL guy, but he left Fox Sports, so I'm not sure he'll be doing it. Who's going to provide us with the tipping of picks this year and trades, which I find far more interesting?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, by far. I think Jake Fisher, he's done it in the past.
He does it for the NFL, doesn't he? Or is that Schultz? I think Schultz.
You're thinking Schultz.
NFL.
Jake Fisher is NBA only.
You're right.
And I think he screwed up last year. Didn't he? Or maybe 2 years ago he screwed one up?
Oh,
was it Jared McCain?
Was the Jaime Jaquez?
Or Jaquez?
It might have been one. No, I think he thought the Heat were taking McCain. They wound up taking Khalil Ware. It was one of the – it was something around –
it was like in the pick 50.
Yeah, around that range.
It's not
like
the end of the world, but just, you know, we're used to the Woj standard.
Never,
which is
– never screwing up. Yeah,
100%. So, yeah, that's also how I'll be watching the draft. Maybe I just kind of monitor the situation early as we see who will be tipping the picks if it's not Shams. I imagine Shams will get you all the trades.
Yeah,
it's questionable to me whether he'll do the picks just because he is an ESPN guy.
Yeah, I'm going through. There's an article on awful announcing of all the things Jake Fisher screwed up last year.
Oh, was it more than just Khalil Ware?
Yeah, he had the he had Charlotte trading back from 6 to 9. They did not do that. They took a guy at 6 and kept him. He thought the Grizzlies were going to take Donovan Clingan and move up to get him. And, of course, we know Clingan wound up in Portland. They wound up taking Zach Edey. And, of course, he thought the Heat were taking Jared McCain. Turns out it was Ware. So maybe he's not
Jake
the
Fisher,
one to be trusted.
Jake Fisher's like, what do you say bleep me for?
Well, why say bleep you? Because you're wrong.
Yeah, that is.
I'm coming to you for.
you have a big enough platform to where we know who you
and
are.
And people are going to retweet what you say because you're out ahead and people want information as quickly as possible, and you're wrong.
Could it be Brett Siegel? Could it be Brett Siegel season?
I feel like he's more of an aggregator. I'm not sure if he's breaking draft news. I don't know. He works for Clutch Points, I guess, so maybe he does know things. Either way, maybe ESPN, if Woj is doing it, it should fall to Shams to break news.
I'll do draft pick tipping. I'll learn who these draft guys' names are, and then I'll tip the picks. Don't worry about the guys. So
5 minutes before they're on the clock, you're going to tell us Cooper Flagg's going to the Maps. Is that your first bit of business?
You know what? I might not even wait.
You're going to do that now? Oh, breaking news. What's
breaking
the breaking news,
Don? Sources close to the situation tell me that
Mike,
the Dallas
situation
Mavericks.
Or you, the situation?
Mike, the situation.
Okay.
From Jersey Shore.
Yeah.
That the Dallas Mavericks will be selecting Cooper Flagg, number one overall.
You're going out on
They like how he fits with Daniel Gafford and Derek Lively.
Right, all the. And give the context.
Anthony Davis. He gives a defensive presence that Nico Harrison once said, defense wins championships. And
the Mavericks keep adding to their hall of plus defenders.
Busy offseason continues.
They just got Kyrie back for multiple years, and they start their offseason with a bang and bring Cooper Flagg in. Thank you, Sean, for that breaking news. We'll see if it plays out that way. You're really out on a limb. Paul Gallant's up next. Followed by the Killer Bees. We thank you for listening. Thank you for contributing. And thanks, Sean, for being our newsbreaker from multiple ways. He brought us the Fred VanVleet news by looking online. And he also brought us the Cooper Flagg news by, you know, being a breathing human who knows what's going to happen. Because everyone knows what's going to happen there. But since we're done for the day, Sean, what does that mean?
I shouldn't be held accountable for a grown man's athleticism.
That's what we're going to be saying if some of these guys bust. Certainly. And you know what you can also do? Listen to us on the new app for Apple. We're still working with that on Android. But if you have an Apple or iPhone, the new app is there. Great. Podcaster, not there. Just go to the website for that. But all the other stuff, we're good to go. Check out the new app if you have an iPhone. We're done. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Do you have the ESPN Houston app? No? Then download it now in your app store.